This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I am surprised. You think that's what they want to try to get out of the game? You know, I think, you know, you look at the NFL, what they've done in protecting players. I don't think that was an accidental play.
Okay, there's Lindy Ruff talking about lack of suspension for Stefan Nason. The big story, though, is the fact that Tage Thompson won't play tonight, and that obviously compounds the situation for Buffalo as they get set for Columbus this evening.
Yeah, well, first of all, I am still surprised that Nason did not get suspended. I rewatched it, and I said I can see what the Department of Player Safety is seeing, that it's a little bit more north-south, but at the same time, when somebody gets hit in the head that way and it's not a 5'8" players, it's a 6'6" or 6'7" player, mm-hmm. That's because that's an elevated hit. Even though Tage was leaning forward, it's an elevated hit. And it was with enough force to say, okay, let's take a look at it. So I'm very surprised. They just handed out Ryan Hartman a 10-game suspension, and I applaud them for that. But you missed the boat on Stefan Nason, so that's that. And you know, obviously, the mood is very different this morning here at KeyBank Center. Yesterday, they had a lot of meetings. They sat down. They talked about what happened against the New Jersey Devils, how that cannot be the way that this organization, this team, is going to handle things like that. So, you know, they won 3 in a row, but the mood is a little like, ugh. We did not do our job in the way to protect or to respond to a hit to our top player. And that's what the mood is like right now at practice. It was this morning. Hopefully that gets cleared out. They're ready to play the game and you're ready to move on. That's what Lindy Ruff tried to stress today. But I still feel like the players are feeling responsible for what happened after the Nason hit on Tage Thompson.
Thompson is out day-to-day. Matias Samuelson is also out with a lower body injury. Tyson Kozak remains out due to illness. So there is definitely a different look, including Isaac Rosanne getting another opportunity. This time a much bigger opportunity based on the absence of Thompson. And here's hoping that Rosanne is not as road-weary as one can only assume he is, based on 3 games in 4 days, Wednesday through Saturday, then flying across the country to Coachella Valley to take part in the skills competition on Sunday, only to have to come back yesterday to be ready for today's NHL game. So Rosanne has been so good of late. The beauty of this timing is that if you can muster up enough energy and just focus on tonight, there is significant time after this evening. It's not like you're running into a potential back-to-back as you get jacked up to return to the NHL. So here's hoping that Rosanne can slide in where Thompson has been and play, obviously, on top line with what is this could be a real nice feather in the cap of the Amherst development process over the last couple of years when you consider that it's got Paterka, Yuri Kulik, and Isaac Rosanne, all who found and have had excellent success at the AHL.
Well, Lindy Ruff did mention that, look, a lot of times when you call up a player from Rochester, from the minors, you know, they don't get the minutes, they don't get the quality ice time. They may be playing fourth line, third line, whatnot. And now, well, Roseanne's going to be playing with Kulik and Paterka, and he's going to get that chance. That probably energized somebody, right? Like, I mean, if you're Isaac Rosanne right now, you're saying, yeah, I've been bouncing across country and, you know, playing 3 and 4, traveling, all-star game, skills competition, whatnot. He missed the all-star game yesterday. But you're looking at your opportunity, and you're like, hey, mind over matter here. Mm-hmm. Like, I am going to work so hard and push myself to the limit, because I am given a really nice opportunity. Look at how Yuri Kulik has responded from being given that opportunity. The door opens for many different reasons. The door opened for Kulik because Jason Zucker was sick. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, hey, let's move players around. And, okay, well, Paterka is going to play up there. McLeod not playing. What we're going to put?
Yeah, it was more McLeod not Zucker.
Paterka got opened up because of Zucker, but McLeod, yes, in the middle. So for different reasons, the door opens. Mm-hmm. Well, right now the door's opening for Rosanne to get in there because of, obviously, Tage Thompson being day-to-day.
Yeah, it's there's a million ways to go with this. The concern, like for me, is obviously Tage not able to play today, but again, there's time now between this and the next game, so maybe it's more of a common sense process.
It's a common sense process. There's two ways to look at it. Where I look, the injury to Tage is the injury to Tage. That moment alone is unfortunate for the team and unfortunate for Tage himself. There's the game today, there's the game Saturday. So those are two really big games going into the Four Nations face-off break. Then you have the, okay, what if there's a need on Team USA for the Four Nations face-off and Tage would be there? Now, I'm just saying for him personally, getting that opportunity. And now that's that hit alone and the injury alone. And then there's obviously the other side of it. How does it affect everybody in the locker room? Mm-hmm. How do you walk in yesterday and have a meeting and Tage is sitting in the room and you're like, sorry, bud, like we didn't do anything and we didn't have your back. Like that's another part that you have to overcome on top of everything else. No Matias Samuelsson, no Tage Thompson. You have to overcome all of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little more from Lindy today as he addressed the media before this game tonight against Columbus.
What is your takeaway from the way your players handled this in the aftermath of the hit? Specifically yesterday, Alex and a few of the other guys had mentioned that it was discussed.
Yeah, we had some hard conversations. It's over. What we discussed, we'll stay inside the room. And we're moving on to trying to win tonight.
Very confident it was a productive meeting, though?
Yes.
A meeting like that, a moment like that, you know, and how they respond, how it can bring a team together potentially.
You have more than one moments like that in a year usually. We've had several. They're really it's about growing. They're important. It's important to when you have meetings about games where you get blown out or when you're giving up all kinds of terrible goals, it's about growing together. And the only way to get better is learn from where you've been.
Was Kevin part of that meeting yesterday?
I'm not going to comment on any part of the meetings.
Matias Samuelsson, he wasn't out here today.
Yeah, he's ruled out for tonight too, injury, lower body injury.
Is that on short term or don't you know yet?
Don't know. Just leave it at that, Paul.
Tyson took a shot before early in the Friday's game. Is his...
Kozak?
Yes.
So he's been sick. This isn't hiding anything, taking a shot, nothing. He's been sick. He was here today, skated early. I think the last I heard he was down 7 pounds. This bug that has hit has picked off like 7-8 guys now. Some have been longer. You look at Zucker, how long it took him. We're hoping that, you know, he can skate either on his own tomorrow or the next day and maybe be ready by Friday.
Roseanne's been really impressive in Rochester recently. What do you want to see from him based on your other viewings this season?
A lot of times a guy gets called up and he gets plunked on kind of that fourth line and, you know, you spot him in. I'm going to put him right up there with Cooley and JJ and let him go. There's a great connection there between Cooley and him, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think a lot of times, you know, given a bigger role, a guy, you know, can show more. So the plan is to try to give him a really good look. That's a great opportunity. And JJ and Cooley have really been going well. He's really been going well down there. I'm excited to see him get this opportunity.
What did you get to see him? Was training camp? What did you see from Roseanne before he went back to
Rochester? Great distributor. He was good in camp. I thought he a little tentative in the game we brought him for, but still made a couple of really nice plays, hanging on to pucks. I like his playmaking ability first, probably, but I know he's really been hot down there when it comes to putting the puck in the back of the net too.
And I know it's a game at a time focus, but this franchise has not won 4 straight games in more than 2 years. Not that it's a message that you preach to your team, but is there a significance to breaking that drought? To good teams usually win 4 straight games at some point.
The best focus, I'll just tell you. I know I couldn't have told you that. I didn't know that. The focus is in winning this game tonight. That's it.
And Columbus is, dare I say, far more depleted than the now extra depleted Sabres, who are without Thompson and Samuelson. Columbus has had ongoing injury issues from the outset this year, and it was massively compounded in their last game against Dallas as they lost not only their top scorer, Kirill Marchenko, with a broken jaw, but I think the front runner for the Norris this year, Zach Werenski,
yes.
He is not going to play despite leaving and then coming back in that game. They lost Dante Fabreau, who's been a really good pickup from Nashville for them this year. So, and that is piling on to the already lengthy list of impact and role players that Columbus has managed to do without. They come in with 59 points sitting in a wild card spot, which, given everything, you know, they've had to go through, is absolutely remarkable. So there'll be no tears shed from the visitors' side with the losses of manpower that Buffalo is dealing with. How do you look at this matchup, and especially when we know that both top lines are going to be reconstructed in the absence of Thompson and Marchenko?
Yeah, right now you look at the Columbus top line, they got Fantilli, a young player.
Amazing. He's really turned it on in the last 25.
He's going against a young Jiří Kulík at the other end. Like, it's about saying, hey, you got the talent, you got the opportunity. Right, Cole Sillinger is going to play the right side. Voronkov is on the left. Usually Marchenko's up there. So, yeah, it's a different look. Columbus Blue Jackets. The big thing with Columbus this year is they've overcome a lot of adversity and a lot of moments in the season where you thought, oh, this could go a different way. Look, I know the Sabres lost 13 in a row. They went 0-10-3. Columbus has had a 6-game losing streak, a 5-game losing streak. The Sabres have won 3 games 5 times in a row this year. Mm-hmm. Like 3 games in a row 5 times this year. Columbus has 2 3-game winning streak and 1 6-game winning streak. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been consistent.
14-5-2 in the last 21. Now,
exactly.
That's the thing.
They've been consistent. They lose one, they've only got one time where they lost six in a row. Like, they've not gone, you know, multiple losing streaks, multiple two, three, four in a row where you start sliding the other way. That has been their key. It has happened many different ways. Mm-hmm. I think Elvis Merzlikins has been really good of late. I think he's been, no, he's still at 895. He's not over 900, but it's a long way from where he was earlier in the year where he was 885. Mm-hmm. So he's moved up, you know. So he's going to be in net tonight. He is a challenge. You have to get bodies. You have to get pucks in the net. So Roseanne, Kulik, Paterka, you know, Cousins, Tuck, Quinn, like, they have to have that mindset. And Dahlin has to continue playing the level he's been playing. I think Dahlin has been excellent since returning from the back spasm late in December.
Yeah, I took that from him, so he can thank me for taking the pain away.
Well, you're playing hurt, and you're playing good hurt, so that's good.
My new nickname is Copay. Which is only mildly amusing that my favorite NHLer is Kopi.
Kopi. Kopitar and Kopi over there. That's a duo. You got a new duo.
I know. Honestly, though, like...
But how do you think the defense is going to fare? Because what we've seen is we've seen Dahlin and Byram, the Sabres.
Oh, okay.
Dahlin, Byram, Power, Samuelson the last few games here. No Samuelson.
Yeah.
So now you're going to probably keep Dahlin and Byram together. Mm-hmm. Power is probably going to have Joki Aryu as a partner. I think Henry Joki Aryu has been pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then that leaves you with, like, potentially Bryson and Clifton.
Yeah.
You're not going 11-7 again, right?
Like, these are super valid points you're bringing up. Why is my brain sitting here going, like, does it really matter? Like, is it because of everything else we've been talking about the last 48 hours? Or is it because, like, they're winning and they win in different ways, so, like, I'm really not worried about it? Like, I have a feeling that they can easily just kind of massage the lineup, move forward, and not miss. Like, it's different, obviously, the change on Buffalo's blue line with Samuelson compared to Columbus without Werenski. You know
Absolutely,
what I mean? So
yes.
I think part of it, like, I'm looking at Columbus has taken such a hit here in the last four, and that's not to say Buffalo didn't. You're losing your best forward in Tage Thompson, but it's almost like it's balanced or even still, in a way, tilted Buffalo's way based on all this loss Columbus is dealing with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, look, you lose Tage Thompson and Matias Samuelson, it's never going to be good, but Columbus is dealing with a lot more. So, you know, it's not going to say, oh, it's a check in the Sabres side, but obviously,
right.
You know, you look at the other team and you say, well, they've got it worse. That's one. The reason why I went thinking about the roster, mm-hmm. and especially what is going to happen on defense, is because the Sabres went to 11 forwards and 7 D in the last game.
Yeah.
So, you know,
done that multiple times in the last month.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, no Tage Thompson. I don't, and plugging in Isaac Roseanne, I don't think the Sabres are going to want to go 11 forwards in this game.
Right.
I think they'd want to go, hey, let's have four lines, let's have 12 forwards. So that would probably put you with Malenstein, Krebs, and Lafferty mm-hmm. on the fourth line. Everybody else falls in, and now you have six defensemen. Is Clifton coming back in? And if so, Joki, are you moving up? Like, there's a few question marks there, but my biggest reason why looking at the roster was, the Sabres can't go 11 forwards again tonight with plugging in an Isaac Roseanne in the lineup. I feel like they have to go 12 forwards in this one.
Just because of Roseanne?
Well, because Roseanne has been up and around and going to Coachella and playing 3 and 4 and he comes back. Like, you may want to manage some of the minutes that the players are playing. You just played the game against New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's been hard emotionally and mentally the last couple of days with, you know.
Roseanne's probably coming in the best mental frame of any player in the Buffalo lineup.
100%.
Based on his success.
He's like,
he's,
you know,
probably
what?
Immune.
In Rochester, we just had a huge fight in Hartford, and it was awesome. We all got on top of each other.
That was part of the first game of their four-game winning streak, of which he's been the biggest part.
Yes.
All due respect to everybody else in the Amherst, but he's got 7 goals in the last 4 games, 3-game winners. He's second in the league in goal scoring. He's top 10 in points. He's just enjoyed the you know, the spectacle that is being part of a league's best scenario, which is the skills challenge. And then last night, you know, he probably, undoubtedly, saw Brett Murray and company. Devin Levi, actually, they all, we'll talk about it a little later. But
yeah.
But Big Murr and Levi, even though they didn't get to the final game, they had moments last night where both of them wowed the crowd, which was kind of fun to watch. But honestly, like, don't you think so?
I talked to him this morning quickly because I joked to him. I said, hey, so did you have to fly red eye back in the middle seat? Because Ryan Klo years ago got traded from San Jose to the Rangers, and he flew red eye,
yes,
middle seat all the way through the night so he could make it to the morning skate.
Yep.
And he laughed and he said something like, no, but I think he wanted to say close, right? Because it's last minute arrangements. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get back as fast as possible. Sometimes I did that when I came back from South Carolina to Rochester. I did three planes, two layovers on a flight from South Carolina to
Rochester. Just to
Rochester,
save money, or?
No, just to get there, because it's like last minute.
I know.
You know, there's
know.
Not a lot of room and whatever. So he looked like he was like, yeah, that was a, I'm going to have a chapter in my book when it comes to the travel that made him come back to Buffalo. But he had a big smile on his face and he was ready to go.
This is all bringing back painful memories for me.
Of travel?
Yeah. Worst. Okay. You can't fully say worst decision ever because it was music related, right?
Yes.
So we were on, back when, you know, Maisie and I traveled all the time with the Sabres, we had an extended Western, well, it was a long Canadian trip, but it went, you know, out west and then across to Montreal before coming home. And we had extra time in Vancouver, but the team was flying back, let me say on the Saturday. The game in Montreal wasn't until Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, it was very bizarre. And one of my favorite bands, Airborne Toxic Event, was doing like a charity, really, really, really small show in Vancouver.
So you decided to stay so an extra day?
So I'm like, I'll meet you in Montreal, right? So,
and it's within Canada, so you're fine. It's like
it's
easy.
It's fine, but when you get spoiled
charter?
To the level of a charter flight across a country and you don't think twice about anything to it's dead of winter. Okay, concert was fine, was nice. The next day, you're going across the country on, it was a huge Air Canada plane, like probably 10 seats across, right?
Yeah.
Three. So this is why I'm thought of it. I was stuck in the middle. Everyone around me is sick. And you're going across the country and you're going, I don't know if this was worth it.
Yeah. I'm going to go for a walk. Let me, you know, new seat is going to be in the bathroom. I'm going to stay there the whole flight.
And honestly, like, obviously, you know, push came to shove. Would I do it again? Of course I would.
Because
I love music. Like, I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity to see a favorite band.
So it makes me think of something in relation to tonight's game. How do you make it all worth it? And I'm not saying that seeing your best player laying on the ice after getting hit by Stephen Nason and just winning a game is worth it. But I'm saying, how do you make it all worth it? That event happened. You had the meetings. Now you got to play the game tonight. Mm-hmm. How do you make it all worth it? You go all out.
Mm-hmm.
You go all out. You're everybody in that locker room. You are going to go all out, and you're going to beat Columbus, and you're going to continue on to Nashville Saturday, and then you have a break. If you want, as a player, to say, I'm going to quiet the noise. Like, there's a lot of noise around this. We're talking about it 48 hours later still. There's a reason for that. But if you want to quiet the noise, you're going all out. Is it worth it to having to go through something like that? At times, yes, if you respond the right way. Just like you. Like, is it worth it to be, you know, going to the concert, flying back, and, you know, there's, yeah, I would do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that the Sabres would respond the same way again, but if you learn from it, you can say, okay, we moved on in the right direction. That's the one thing you have to focus on tonight.
Do you remember what my lead into the show yesterday was? What changes moving forward?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is why I was asking that, for you to have the, not you specifically, but for the conversation to be, how do they take this forward? And obviously,
There's so many things that could have happened different. And I think you revisit all of them.
But there's also so much beyond, like, I don't know. There's now so much to look at within this matchup, but not the least of which, like, what they're up against. If anything, like Columbus has dealt with more adversity, obviously, than any franchise in the NHL. That is incredibly painful based on the tragic loss of the Gaudreau brothers. And it has carried into their season in the sense of ongoing adversity, and it's piling on again right now. But they are, like, they are the hallmark right now of, like, well, nothing is stopping them, right?
They're in a playoff spot.
And if the Sabres can somehow get to their own place within that realm of overcoming adversity and, you know, inserting new players and having them rise up, just like Yuri Kulik has done in his most recent opportunity, then, yeah, to your point, like, it's, you're never going to say it's worth it, because nobody wants to deal with the in-the-moment pain, ever. Like, that's life. No one wants to have that happen. But you got to figure out a way.
As a professional athlete, you usually move on from a bad game, a bad situation, even a big win. Mm-hmm. You got to move on from it.
Right.
But this will stick with you a little longer if you don't move on with it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that could have happened in that game. I also think that 20, 30 years ago, those type of situations probably happened many times over your AHL years, your NHL years. You've had more opportunities to know how to handle them.
Mm-hmm.
Now it happens once in a great while. And maybe you don't know that, but there's so many things that could have happened after the fact that, okay, let's see how you respond. If the situation presents itself, respond appropriately. If there's nothing to respond to, play the game, beat Columbus, move on, say, you know what, we're together in here, and this is how it goes. Because if you don't win tonight, there's going to be a lot of noise around it, because this is a game that's right there for you to have.
12 points between them in the standings. Obviously, Buffalo chasing Columbus for what they envisioned at the start of the year, which is being in the hunt for the wild card spot. There are 14 games in the NHL tonight, and there is a double-digit suspension to discuss as well. That belonged to Ryan Hartman, and we'll get into a lot of it as we continue. It's a game night. It's Buffalo Columbus. No Tage Thompson. He's day to day. Matias Samuelsson is also out with a lower body injury. Isaac Rosén recalled from Rochester. He will take top line minutes to start with Yuri Kulik and JJ Paterka. We've got a Sabres road crew party happening. It's coming up about a month from now in Fort Lauderdale, March the 7th. Tickets are just $20. Head to sabres.com/road crew. Long list of Sabres alumni in attendance on that night. Can't wait to see you there. We're back after.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We need a medical miracle. I'm speaking specifically to Marty and his voice.
Yeah, no, seriously, what's wrong with
it? We all know Marty's MO, which is...
Talk.
Thank you.
I can't even stay quiet to say that.
I don't even have to finish this sentence. This is like a comedy routine. This is amazing.
Dude.
Okay, so
I wake up every morning and I'm like, I hope my voice is good today.
And then you never stop.
And then it's not.
How are you going to get your voice fully back based on how much you talk for a living and otherwise on the number of platforms?
After Saturday, I got a two-week break.
Really?
Well, not on Sabres Live. We'll still be doing Sabres Live, but I'm going to have less on my plate.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I'm going to quiet. Every other hours of the day, I will not talk. I'll just talk on Sabres Live.
Well, we're going to need a live stream of you not talking.
Like the Truman Show? I'm going to do it, my own Truman Show, but no talking. Let's do it. People are saying, what the heck is the Truman
Show? Will there be captions?
Yeah, exactly.
Thought bubbles?
AI is going to capture.
Oh, yeah, AI will just oh, my gosh.
In French and English.
Well... The only reason, you know this, the only reason I joke about it is because I have been concerned about you for like 6 weeks now. And
it's been since Christmas.
I know. So I want...
People are like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm great. I feel awesome. Just can't talk. And it came back and it was fine and it went away.
And why did it come back? Because you had an exhaustive car ride of endless conversation in a small environment.
I know. I went to see my kid and in the car we were talking and by the time I got there I was like shot. But that's okay. I'll dig deep and I'll make it work.
If we were doing our pregame parlay right now, what would the number be set at for Isaac Rosanne, either from a goals or points standpoint tonight?
Well, he's playing top line, so I think for a point standpoint, I think we'd probably look at plus 200.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, it's obviously, it wouldn't be even money. Maybe 2-1 on the odds on Isaac Rosanne to get a point. A goal, we're probably talking plus 450. And look, I would definitely look into it. Because not only is Rosanne going to be playing top line, I would think Lindy Ruff may use him on the power play as well. You know, Tage Thompson is a big power play presence. The chemistry between Kulik and Rosanne has been now for a couple of years in Rochester. So I would sprinkle, that's a term, sprinkle a little something on Isaac Rosanne to get in a point tonight.
Will he get his first NHL goal?
Well, who's going to score first, Ryan Johnson or Isaac Rosanne in the NHL?
Well,
Ryan Johnson
hasn't scored in the AHL.
In the pros,
I think Rosanne gets his first NHL goal tonight. Producer Jeff, do we have his most recent game winner from Rochester, the overtime? Like, this, you know me. I barely miss a minute, right, of Amherst hockey. And this on Saturday, I mean, Michael Leone, like, what a week he had from a coaching standpoint. With the Amherst, they win on home ice against Utica, big totals. He wasn't impressed at all. Promised a hard practice on the Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come out, start a home and home against Syracuse. They score three times in the first 12 minutes on Friday. Clearly the message had sunk in. They grind through that game, win it 3-1. Then they go into Syracuse the next night, down 1-0, down 2-1, down 3-2. Now it's well into the third. And the biggest reason they're still having a fighting chance in the final 5 minutes is Felix Sandstrom. Absolutely yes. Sensational in the third period. He's won 6 in a row. But we get conditioned now, watching pro hockey, to the early goaltender pull. But often it's super early because it's a multi-goal deficit.
Yes.
Leone pulls Sandstrom with 4 minutes left in a one-goal game.
Yes.
And less than a minute later, the Amerks get the tying goal as Clegg fires it from the point. Murray tips it, gets his 20th of the
and
year.
And there's still 3 minutes left.
There's still 3 minutes left, and Ryan Johnson takes a penalty. They have to kill it in regulation. And then they go into overtime, and Noah Ostlund is able to make a really smart neutral zone play on a scrambled draw, and ultimately Roseanne scores the OT winner. But the reason I wanted to really emphasize what Roseanne... Look at this play, if you were on MSG Party. Watch this breakaway
right,
speed,
yeah.
though. Like, this separation in such, yeah. like, less than half a rink it is impressive, and there was no hesitation, and I had just watched an earlier video from last year's All-Star Weekend when Kulik and Roseanne were sitting down and they were being asked who's better at what. And the question had been who's better on breakaways. And like without hesitation, Roseanne. No, Roseanne's like, oh, Jiří. And Jiří's like, oh, yeah, me for sure. and then I see this Roseanne breakaway goal and I'm like, wow. Like this just reminds me of when an athlete starts to fully believe in their game-breaking abilities. This was without hesitation, backhand, forehand, stick side, perfectly placed.
It was Jussi Jokinen. It was Jussi Jokinen move, and it was perfectly executed.
So good.
Now, okay, just so you know, when it comes to the betting for tonight, our my personal expert. You know, everybody's got their betting expert.
Is this the MB43 app?
No, this is a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Let's call him TK, okay. TM. Let's call him TM. TM, friend of the show, says that Roseanne is plus 300 to score tonight and is not listed as a point getter yet. Like, it probably will come closer to the game. So just so you guys know, TM shall remain nameless and to protect his identity.
Well, Roseanne gunning for a goal tonight on the heels of 7 goals in his last 4 games, 9 in his last 7, 10 in his last 10. He is second in the AHL in goal scoring right now.
How about last night? Okay, what was better? Roseanne's breakaway in overtime or
yes.
Big Murr's between the legs last night?
Roseanne in overtime, obviously, because it counted. It mattered
like
for
Big
real.
Big Murr in the All-Star game yesterday.
Yeah.
Between the legs, the move on the defenseman before that.
The move was really
unbelievable.
Impressive.
And look, some people might say, okay, but Brett Murray's never going to be an NHLer. Maybe he won't. But you know how hard it is to just
Brett Murray has made the NHL. Let's clarify this.
Yes, you're right.
He played 23 games, and he has
like
scored
a regular,
multiple
like,
goals.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that he has had that, and he continues year in, year out at almost 27 to get even better. And that, to me, is the real measure of a person
yes.
and their commitment to his craft. Super rewarding for Brett to get that opportunity.
Listen, like
night.
My brother played in the National Hockey League, 300 some games, but then won a Calder Cup in the AHL, went to play in Europe. He had a fantastic career. That's hard to do, to say that you are going to be in the minors and grind it, or in Europe and
yeah.
grind it. And year after year, you come back and you play and you give everything you got. And so for Brett Murray to be that guy in Rochester, just like Michael Mersch was the years in the past, I think it's fantastic.
All-time captain.
All-time captain.
Do you know that's the punchline they use with Mersch?
No.
The guys that played with him?
All-time captain?
All-time captain.
Okay, well, good.
It's amazing. I love it.
But
absolutely
with Murray,
love it.
Like, the fact that he goes to the AHL All-Star game where there's a lot of young players that are saying, hey, you know what? Like, I want to show my stuff. Mm-hmm. I want the NHL to see what I got to give. Brett Murray goes out there, makes an amazing move on the defenseman, gets in front of the goalie, goes Tomáš Hertl through the legs, boom, scores, big smile after. Like, I was so happy for him to have had that moment.
Yeah, it was super cool, and He's having a career year as well. And again, I'll tip the cap to Michael Leone on just what he's been able to get from the first line through the fourth line, but it's actually like lines one through six based on the number of different players he has used and how anybody that comes in seems to have an impact. Their readiness for games is what has them right now just behind Laval for top spot in the North Division. And so
Devin Levi was good too.
Devin was fun. He got victimized on what obviously, like, the referees obviously don't call anything in three, and linesmen don't call anything
so
in three
been
on three. The winning goal in the semifinal essentially is what it comes down to, was clearly high sticked by the player who was on a breakaway. Like, he wouldn't have had the breakaway if he hadn't knocked the puck down out of midair, and then he goes in and they score on kind of a anyway, it doesn't matter. Levi put on a show, the crowd was roaring because he had
a missed stoppage of play did not get reviewed in an all-star game.
Okay.
Come on.
We are not going to reenact Ryan Hartman on Tim Stützle.
Well, but I don't know who would be whom. Would you drive my head into the concrete?
Oh no, I would take the beating. I'd be on the receiving
just
end.
Just want to make sure I'm not getting hurt for that.
No, but I bring it up that way because I think of how dumb we were as teenagers, like replicating wrestling moves.
We used to do that in the basement, my brother and I, on the concrete floor.
That and or with my friends, it was always like near the pool.
Oh.
And so the smashdown was like in the pool to avoid the actual impact, right? But it was like driving someone's head into the ground. And you can debate to eternity how much intent there was in Hartman, how great the impact ultimately was. I'm not going to get into the physics of it. The reality is it was a terrible look. Stützle's cut, and Hartman is a chronic repeat offender. Probably the most chronic when it comes to suspensions and fines in the current NHL. And that's why he ended up getting 10 games, because you know what? People get tired of dealing with his antics.
So the 10 games are going to cost him nearly $400,000, because when you're a repeat offender, it's not 10 days' pay. It's basically a percentage of the salary. So 10 games out of 80, so you're taking that out. So it's going to be pretty significant wallet-wise. Okay, I was surprised that Stephen Nason did not get suspended, but the NHL will play on sometimes the games happen fast. You know, you stick your leg out, your elbow out, you get a game or two. We understand that. This was not that. This was Ryan Hartman had time to think. After the face-off is being put in play, he's got his right forearm in the back of Tim Stützle's head, and he has time to think, what do I want to do here? You know what? I am going to pile drive his head into not only the ice, but the concrete underneath the ice, and I'm going to lay on it, and I'm going to make him pay, which is not a hockey play, which is a dumb play. And I thought it was going to be a six-game suspension, and I'm really happy that the Department of Player Safety went to 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty significant for a team that is already dealing with, you know, some players that and some salary constraint. Like, Minnesota is going to be paying the price.
Well, the biggest fallout for Minnesota is the fact that for 10 games, they lose roster flexibility.
Yes.
And they're already up against the cap.
A $4 million player.
This is a nightmare for them because they have people coming back in and out of the lineup from injury. They've already found themselves really pressed, you know, like not even did they end up dressing the proper backup or did they resort to an e-bug
a few weeks back? No, Matt Murray.
We know the reality here. And when you're suspended, you're still on the roster. These are things that at the end of the day, and you know, problem is Hartman's got multiple years left on his deal. Like, these are things that don't sit well with people that have to try to get their best roster out there for a team that's
a good team.
Yeah.
They have Kaprizov out now, so they have that money coming out, so it's helping them a little bit, but it still limits their roster.
It's true. Anyway, so that being said, Ottawa, like, rolled Minnesota in that game.
Yes.
Did you see the shots?
52 to
16.
16.
And then
Ottawa's
like,
had 90 shots their last two games.
Like last night, out of nowhere, they just throw up like 20 shots in the second period.
Yeah.
And eventually, now it was close for a while, but it didn't feel close. Like Ottawa's won five in a row now. They blast the Predators. Ottawa has a very strange week. They are in Tampa now, so they played. They're playing back-to-back nights, first Nashville, now Tampa, and then they're going to stay in Tampa and play the Lightning again on Thursday. Yeah. But they're one of the hottest
teams.
This
is my type of schedule. Like when it's a baseball schedule.
Yeah.
You stay in the same city. You get to enjoy a little sun. Man, I
huge
miss
night.
Those days.
Minnesota, there's 14 games in the NHL. Minnesota at Boston, obviously.
Huge.
Huge, based on where the Bruins have been. New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Ottawa, Tampa, as we mentioned, like this is a, honestly, Marty, Ottawa is so much closer to the top of the division.
Yeah, they're 2 points back
than most people would reasonably consider.
So what are they,
They're 5 points back of the Panthers for top spot
with a game
in hand and only two behind the Maple Leafs.
Yes.
It's...
That win last night made a big thing because they were only 2 points from being out of the playoffs. They were 4 points back of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
Now they flipped that by being only 2 points back of Toronto. That win last night was huge. And, you know, they were tied 2-2. You know, it kind of was like, is it going to come through? Well, they did. Stützle was huge. Sanderson was huge. Pinto was huge.
Playing without Josh Norris.
Yes.
Again, as he's out for a few weeks. At the very least, Detroit, of course, has been on an incredible run. They're at Seattle tonight. Detroit and Columbus are the wild card teams in the East right now.
Tampa still should be in with point percentage, but they're out because they've got three games in hand.
And Montreal, who's lost five in a row on the heels of an incredible 20-game stretch, are at San Jose. So this is just, and by the way, the Islanders, we got a break here. The Islanders, again, just finally lost for the first time in eight, and now, once again, a continuation. Massive injuries to deal with for them. We're back after this on a game night, Sabres Jackets here, Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's the last minute of play on Sabres Live, and if you're just joining us, Tage Thompson is not playing tonight. He's day-to-day. Mattias Samuelsson is out with a lower body injury.
Yes.
Isaac Rosén is slated to play top line with Jiří Kulík and J.J. Paterka.
Yeah, and Columbus doesn't have Boone Jenner, who's been out most of the year, Chinnikov, Monahan, Marchenko, Gudbranson, and Fabro, and Zach Werenski. So it's a lot of missing pieces on both teams for the game tonight.
So your expectation thus is?
Got to keep going. Got to make it four in a row. You know, you don't even have Lindyruff said, I don't know when's the last time the team won four in a row. I don't care. Got to win a game. That's what you have to focus on. And do it because you want, as a team, to come together and respond from what happened to Tage Thompson in the last game.
Celebrating girls and women in sports tonight here at KeyBank Center. That'll be part of our pregame show that begins at 6:30. See you then.